Hey ladies, welcome back to our second module of Stressless Cooking. So we're going to go ahead and I'm going to dive on in. We got Laura Lee right here.
Say hey hi. Guys, glad to be back.
We're excited to bring you this next module and I'm going to actually just kick us off. So give me a second. I'm just going to share my screen with y'all and get this rocking and rolling. Alrighty. So there we go. As you can see, we're here for Stressless Cooking. And today, what we're going to be diving in, we're going to be talking about your new cooking goggles. So obviously here with Stressless Eating, you've gotten your food goggles and your freedom goggles and the body goggles and creating your inner compass to create your love goggles. And we're going to talk about how to create cooking goggles because as we were talking about last week, it's the mindset around cooking that really matters. You know, Laura Lee is a holistic chef and she could give you recipes until the cows come home. But if you aren't who you need to be to actually make it happen, to actually enjoy the process and to make it feasy, fun, easy, and feasible, you'll never actually do it. All right. And so today what we're going to be doing is while we're creating your cooking goggles, we're going to be debunking any cooking myths and creating your new stressless cooking truths. And again, they have to be yours because they have to resonate. All right. And so just kind of going on the framework that you already know, you know, here's how we want to think about these cooking goggles that you're going to be creating throughout this process today. Okay. Again, if I tell you not to think about the color blue, like don't think about a blue car, don't think about a blue sky, don't think about the blue paint that's on your screen right now. All you can do is think about the color blue, right? Your brain can't not. And so if you're thinking about cooking in your old mindset, like, oh, it sucks, or it's so expensive, or it's time consuming, or I hate it, you're going to continue focusing on that. And that's what you're going to find, right? And that's what happens when you carry your old beliefs and old goggles about cooking or about yourself as a cook into your cooking journey and into your kitchen. And that's why we want to be aware of where your old mindset around cooking, and again, some of the old mindset around food is going to show up too, but that's totally cool. We're aware of that. We expect that, right? We want to be aware where the old mindset and beliefs are showing up, as in like, we want to become aware of where the color blue is showing up in your life around food and around cooking. And then we want to have, just as always, a very specific red to focus on and to just look for every single day to remember a system of thinking to replace the old thinking. Right? So I just want you to, again, keep this floating around in the background of your mind as we move into this, because we're going to find out what those old beliefs are. Don't worry if you don't know what they are. We're going to help you find them. And by the end of this module, you're going to have the new beliefs and new truths that are going to serve you moving forward. And we're going to help you create those. So don't worry, just sit back and follow along. It's going to happen organically. And so what's going to happen right now is Laura Lee is going to just give you a big picture overview of all of those possible like non-truths or the old unserving beliefs that might be taking over your brain or the myths or the outright lies that, you know, your beliefs and mindset have been maybe picked up along the way or have been lingering on in your brain. And as we read them, here's what I want you to do is, and you're going to see there's a cheat sheet that'll be given to you in the module. So you'll have this, you know, in the member dashboard. But right now, just grab a piece of paper by you and grab a pen. And as she goes through these, I want you to just jot down on a piece of paper the ones that feel true for you. Okay. And then as you'll see, when this goes live in the membership site, you're going to get to fill in your own custom cooking goggles. Okay. And by the end of this, you're going to have all the information that you need to create that, to fill in this template for you. Okay. So we're going to go ahead and get started. And Laura Lee's going to walk you through. First, she's going to walk you through all the myths that might be keeping you stuck or keeping you from having the cooking mindset that you really need to move forward and make this a stressless journey. And then we're going to take you through one by one and figure out how to shift those into new serving beliefs that will serve you moving forward. Okay, so I'm going to hand it over to Laura Lee and we're going to go ahead and get started.
Hi, guys. I am so excited to be back, and Leanne did all of the overview work for me. So let's just dive on into these cooking mindset myths. Now, I do want to say that not only are these the myths that I hear from you guys all the time, and that I've sort of aggregated over the last 6 years of doing this. But these are also things that I personally had to work through before I became a stressless cook. And that was about 8 years ago when I first started cooking for myself. So I get it. I've been there. And as we said last week, easy is earned. And so just keep that in the back of your mind as we go through this, that not only have I been there, but it is something that is 100% possible. And we're going to do it together. So the myths: cooking isn't sustainable. Cooking isn't any fun.
So as you're going, ladies, just remember, jot down the ones that you might feel resonate with your current belief system around food or around cooking, okay?
Yeah, whichever ones speak to you the most. And by the way, if for some reason there's something on here that is a roadblock for you with cooking and I don't mention it, write that down as well and definitely let us know. Cooking takes me away from things I'd rather be doing. Cooking is overwhelming. Cooking is too expensive. Cooking doesn't taste as good as takeout. Cooking just isn't worth it. And cooking requires a guru or
something. I put Laura Lee because she's my guru.
I can't say that. Cooking requires a guru.
And so ladies, just take a look at these myths. These are the top ones, okay? And just take a look at them and see which ones you have noticed showing up in your conversation around cooking, around maybe prepping for cooking, maybe around shopping to go cooking, right? Any of it, if any of these resonate. And then also take a minute, just kind of take a little mental inventory. What are some myths or mindset beliefs that are coming up for you that might we haven't listed? You know, these are the ones that Laura Lee has aggregated over. You know, she has tens of thousands of women that she interacts with every single year. And that follow her and that give her the feedback. But obviously there's ones that might be really pertinent and personal to you. So just take a moment, look at what's on the screen, and then just jot down the ones that stick with you. And then we're going to go take these one by one.
Yes, 100%. And just before we dive in, I also want to remind you that the reason that we're talking about cooking is because cooking is one of the best, if not the best ways to start to actually know what your body needs and tune in with yourself. And if you are tuned in with what your body needs, stressless eating is going to be, I mean, just a million times easier, if not, you know, almost impossible without this. So we really, really need to get you fine-tuned and knowing what works for you and your body so that you can conquer stressless eating overall.
Awesome. Love it. So let's go into those myths. The first myth.
So the first myth is that cooking is not sustainable, but guess what? Cooking is sustainable. Cooking is sustainable if I am willing/believe in investing in the pantry staples and equipment that I need. And when you have that foundation, once you have your pantry and your kitchen with the basics to make, you know, the type of recipes that you and your family like, all you're having to buy week to week is non-perishables. It's not like, and I will also say, you know, if you do want to use my recipes as a resource, I keep things really, really simple and I never make you buy something that you're not going to use multiple times. So we're not talking about a lot of stuff, but it is absolutely crucial.
Awesome. And so as we're going about these, we're going to be sharing the myth with you. And then we're going to be sharing like what is possible for a new truth. Because of course, if you have a belief that's not serving you, like cooking is not sustainable, we need to shift that and create a new belief. Well, cooking is sustainable if. So here's the thing. Remember, it's never about the cooking. It's who you're being when you're doing the doing, right? So apparently we're just using the first one as an example, but if that first myth of like cooking is not sustainable feels true for you, part of it is we have to figure out like how to make it sustainable for you. And so Laura Lee just gave you an example of like a shift in belief of like cooking is sustainable if you're willing and you believe that investing in, you know, making it simple and sustainable, like investing in pantry staples and investing in the right equipment, and that knowing that once you have the foundation, all you need to do is buy all the other fresh stuff that comes with it. Okay. So again, this is just one example of a new belief that you can build. And so the cooking is sustainable if ... is the new truth for you. And she just shared an example of why that truth could be true, because if I create the foundations and if I believe it's true, all that stuff that she just said. And so in the meantime, just kind of be jotting down or in your mind's eye, what would make this statement true for you? Okay. So we're giving you the first part of the truth to just kind of get you started. But again, we got to make sure that it's your language, your words, or else it's never going to stick. Okay. So back to Laura Lee.
Exactly. Exactly. If you were forced to have to complete these sentences, I bet you all could come up with your own really interesting responses. So whether or not what I say resonates with you, I definitely want to challenge you to fill in that blank for yourself. And I think you'll be amazed at what you come up with. So myth number two is that cooking isn't fun. Well, guys, cooking is, I mean, I'm biased, but cooking is the most fun. Cooking is so fun when I practice it enough that it's become easy and flexible. And this is incredibly important, and it may not seem like it, but it's a game changer. When I've created an enjoyable cooking environment, put on some music, put on a cute apron, I swear it makes a difference. Put flowers in your kitchen, be sipping a kombucha, have your kitchen clean, put your family somewhere else, corral them somewhere else, or your animals. These things make the cooking environment something that I truly look forward to being in.
Absolutely. I'll just stack on that. Like, cooking is fun when I create the fun, when I bring the fun with me. So just like Laura Lee was saying, like, your environment is everything. How can you make it a fun kitchen? How can you make it a fun sensory experience with, you know, maybe some flowers, maybe some, you know, essential oils, or, you know, the aromas from the food, or getting your kitchen super clean. All those things matter. And so it's not about like cooking isn't fun blanking statement. It's like, you have to create that fun experience for yourself. It's all about creating the experience.
Amen to that, sister. Myth number three, cooking takes me away from things I'd rather be doing. Indeed, that is not true. Truth number three, healthy cooking gives me more time to do the activities I love because it gives me energy. It makes me sleep better. It improves my confidence and helps me be excited to, you know, bring myself out into the world. And I know that sounds ridiculous, but it's so true, guys. When you are nourishing yourself from the inside out, you want to be more productive. You want to put yourself out there. You're more willing to take risks. And just those biomarkers, I mean, you're sleeping better, you're more hydrated, you know, you're less bloated. All of that stuff is unbelievably powerful and will radiate into every aspect of your life. And cooking at home will 100% help you do that. So, and also, I mean, in terms of time, if you think about it, like the time that it actually takes to go out to dinner or to go pick up food, or let's be honest, if we're ordering something from Postmates or Uber Eats, are you really being productive while you're waiting for your food? No, you're twiddling your thumbs, watching the Postmates person drive up to your house for that entire hour, and you're spending more money. So,
and just to stack on that, and again, we're just taking you through, like, the myth number three was cooking takes me away from things I'd rather be doing, and we're trying to find a truth to replace it, right? And so the truth is, it gives you more time to do activities you love because, and this is where, you know, the other side of it is, like, think about the mental time and energy that you're experiencing, thinking about, like, where should we order from or what should we eat, or the post-food guilt of, like, crap, I just ate pizza on a Tuesday night when I could have just had something that I could have concocted in my fridge, right? So think about time also as like an energy currency as well, right? And just figure out, like, what would it, like, how can you give yourself more time by cooking? And just kind of start letting that, no pun intended, cook in your brain as we keep moving forward.
Yeah, absolutely. Cooking, once you really create a practice out of this, it will clear up so much mental, emotional, and physical space for you. Okay, myth number four, that cooking is overwhelming, and I totally get this, and I think this is an umbrella that encompasses a lot of things. But guys, the truth is cooking is not any more overwhelming than anything else new that you want to take on. I mean, you know, if your kid is like, learning how to write is overwhelming, you're not just going to shrug your shoulders and be like, you're right, that's a lot, like, let's move on to something else. Everything that we learn how to do is difficult in the beginning, but cooking isn't any more overwhelming than any of those things that you've decided to prioritize and set your mind on. And as we said, easy is earned. I have a pantry and kitchen that is armed with the tools that I need and have applied some basic meal planning techniques which, by the way, we will eventually get to, cooking becomes manageable and then it becomes easy/fun.
Absolutely. And just to stack on that, like, you know, everything that we're doing in this program, including this, is like this matter of, okay, it's a short-term investment right now to learn the skill set, to create a new mindset and create a new way of being around cooking and in the kitchen for long-term, like a lifelong way of being. And again, as we get into the next couple of modules, Laura Lee is going to take you through how to create that. We're going to help you find your cooking personality. We're going to help you figure out how to like really set yourself up for success, for ease and feasibility. But again, we have to get through some of these truths and limiting beliefs, or non-truths, as you say, before that. But also, the only thing keeping you from feeling like cooking is overwhelming versus adopting truth number four as your new truth is just deciding that the story isn't true. Decide, and this goes for all of these truths, but like deciding that it's not overwhelming and kind of calling BS on that this is overwhelming. It's overwhelming when you go into it with your old mindset, old beliefs, old strategy, but we're giving you new mindset, new beliefs, and new strategy. So part of it is like, okay, it's overwhelming when I bring that old story with me, but when I take on a new story and I create a new story where, wow, what if it was stressless? What if it was easy? Then overwhelm just doesn't even fit in that storyline anymore. And so that's why we're so adamant about taking you through these beliefs.
Yes, definitely. And kind of what Leanne mentioned with the last truth, you know what is overwhelming? Decision fatigue. So it's also worth taking into consideration all of the time that you're spending trying to figure out what to eat and then all the emotion that comes after that. That is truly overwhelming.
Amen to that.
Yes. Myth number five is cooking is too expensive. Now, this is something that really resonates with me because I get this question all the time, and I get it because I do eat really high quality food. But just like every single one of these myths, there is a truth, and cooking is way less expensive than eat. Well, first of all, there are so many ways to make cooking inexpensive. And if for some reason you do have my book, my cookbook, I have a whole section on budget-friendly cooking. And there's just so many ways to get around that. Sales, coupons, buying seasonally, making big batches of things, freezing. I mean, so the idea that cooking has to be expensive, there are so many logistical reasons why that's not the case. But it's also important to remember that cooking is way less expensive than eating out all the time, especially if you're thoughtful about it. You know, I mean, I cannot tell you when I first moved into my apartment last year and I, for a moment, slipped back into the mindset of cooking felt really overwhelming. And so for a few days, I ordered food and it took me about 3 days of looking at my bank account to realize that cooking was just vastly, vastly more cost effective than, you know, ordering out or grabbing last minute snacks from a gas station or a vending machine. That stuff really adds up. And that will happen if you're not prepared with your own food. So, and then I also want to just mention there is an incredible website called Thrive Market. Thrive Market is where I get the majority of my more expensive foods, and it's absolutely phenomenal. It's been a game changer for me. Costco is an amazing resource, buying things in bulk. And also, I do want to mention, you guys don't need to buy all of the fancy superfoods that you see out there. They're fun, but guess what? They're not crucial. They're not game changers. You don't need spirulina or, you know, algae or, you know, even things like collagen, which I love, but they're not crucial. So, you know, don't put any pressure on yourself to try to go outside of the box. You can just keep it really simple.
Absolutely. And just to stack on that, like we kind of what we talked about last week, where it's really like if you remove the chemicals and focus on eating fresh foods, you can shop like that too. Like that's the number one thing, is like just look for the chemicals in your food, but you don't have to. Like I'll be the first to admit, like I don't always get like wild caught salmon and stuff like that. And I don't always buy organic produce. You know what I mean? So it's just always about what you want. But I also want to just kind of put it into your mind this idea of this definition of expensive, right? Expensive is like costly in terms of monetary investment, of course, but like cooking is way less expensive. Like think about the expense on your health of eating out all the time. Think about the expense on your peace of mind eating out all the time and like thinking about how many extra like calories or food you're experiencing, right? And then of course the monetary cost too. So think about expensive, not just in a monetary way as well. All right. Cool. I'm going to just keep, I see that we're having some sound struggles,
maybe
but
I should.
Okay, cool. Talking. So we're just going to, there we go.
Yeah. So let me know if this is better, guys, while I'm talking. So myth, and it's funny, I feel like the theme that we're seeing is that with each of these truths, there's like a word that we can take out and completely turn it on its head. And whether it's expensive or overwhelming or whatever it is, and actually show that probably the way you've been approaching food is those things, as opposed to cooking. So myth number six is cooking doesn't taste as good as takeout. And I would say this is also aligned with what I hear a lot from people is a sense of deprivation when it comes to cooking, that they're not going to be able to have those amazing things that they consider, you know, worthy of, you know, indulgence, or that they can't live without. I think deprivation goes hand in hand with this idea that, you know, cooking is not going to be as good as those things that you think are so amazing. And first of all, let me tell you, when you start to eat healthier, your taste buds change. So that's going to be one thing, is you're not going to want those super sweet, super salty foods, those chemical filled foods. You're just not going to want them as much. But then the other thing is that what if you were to approach cooking like you're an artist and you get to literally create what sounds the best to you completely based on your own personal taste. Like, you get to literally craft your favorite meal in your own kitchen and tweak it to whatever you specifically like. And even if it's a dish that sounds super fancy, you think you can only get it at one place, there are a billion recipes on the internet. And if you're taking it slowly, if you're having fun, if you're in a relaxed environment, I guarantee you can get pretty close to recreating that yourself. And the thing is, as we've said, if you go along this stressless cooking route, you're going to have a fridge and a pantry full of the basic condiments and seasonings that you can add to your meals to amp them up. And I also just want to throw in a little plug for healthy fat. I think we might have talked about this last time, but guys, fat is incredibly healthy for you, and that's where all good restaurant flavor comes from. But in your kitchen, you can actually choose the healthy fats. So instead of the nasty vegetable oils that are in inflammatory and really hard on your body and are oxidizing inside of you, you can use healthy fats like coconut oil and avocado oil and nuts and seeds and grass-fed butter and wild-caught fish and fatty cuts of meat and all that good stuff.
Yeah, just to stack on that, so, so true. Like, of course, when you're in deprivation mode and you're eating like steamed broccoli with like no seasoning, no butter, all that, when you are eating, you know, broiled chicken that has like no depth or no flavor or anything like that, yeah, you're going to feel like, oh my gosh, this sucks. I want to eat out. And you're going to crave all the stuff that you're eating out. But that's the deprivation mindset that has like fat phobia, calorie phobia, carb phobia, all that. Like, when you start giving yourself permission, and again, I want to stack on the fat comment, like, fat is your friend, okay? Fat does not make you fat. And it's also going to keep you satiated. It's going to make your food taste really good, you know? And so give yourself permission to make your food taste good. So again, the only distinction between the myth, which is home cooking doesn't taste very good, versus home cooking tastes even better than takeout, is changing your mindset of like, I can make it taste good. Giving yourself that permission-based attitude to cook in a way that pleases you and makes you happy.
Yes. Oh my gosh. Yes, girlfriend. Okay. Truth number seven. This one really speaks to my heart, which is that cooking is not worth it. But the truth is, cooking is so unbelievably worth it. And it is worth it because I prioritize my health and the health of the people that I love more than anything in the world. And that includes mental, physical, and emotional health. And cooking allows me to choose what I put into my body and the body of those that I love, because I feed a lot of my friends and my boyfriend. And when I do that for myself and for them, we have strong immune systems, we have amazing digestion, we have amazing metabolism, balanced hormones, and happy brains. I mean, what is more valuable than that for you and the people that you love? And in addition, and this is probably why I think more than anything I got into cooking in the beginning you know, 8 years ago, is that cooking brings people together in a way that literally nothing else can, because everybody, it's the great equalizer. Everybody loves food. And free from the distractions and the logistics that go into eating in a restaurant, we can come together in a peaceful atmosphere and just connect in person, you know, and really have good conversations. And in our world of social media, that is so few and far between. But that's one thing that you can't recreate over technology. So, and then if you do have kids, and I've worked with so many people that have kids, cooking teaches kids responsibility. You can have them help measure, stir, clean up, all that good stuff. And it also helps them to be less picky eaters because they feel connected to the food. You know, it's just we're all running around a million miles an hour, and eating delicious food is just one way that we can all connect because we all love it.
Absolutely. And just like anything that we talk about, it's always the intent that shapes the content, you know? And so if your intent and you come up with all these reasons why it would serve you to become a stressless cook and to create meals that are easy and be able to like kind of just whip up a meal on like in a flash, like there's nothing more empowering than that, but you have to decide that it's worth it. You can't be convincing, persuading yourself. You have to make that new declaration. If you have a voice in your head that's saying, oh, it's not worth it. It's not worth the time, the energy. I'm just going to go out to eat. Then that's the story that you will live into. And none of this even will matter, you know? And so you've got to decide that it is worth it. But I invite you to figure out and determine, like, why is it worth it to you? Who do you want to be for yourself? Who do you want to be for the people that you're serving? You know, and I, you know, we'll talk about this too, but just kind of stacking on what Laura Lee was saying about cooking for other people, you know, there's a myth that I don't even know if we touched on this, but I'll mention it now. Like Laura Lee just said, cooking for other people, you know, like there's that myth that, oh, I have to cook 1,000 different things for 1,000 different people. And like, just, I had a friend over here the other day and I made exactly what I had for me. And I also put some dairy on theirs and I didn't have the dairy because I'm not eating dairy right now. So it was just, it doesn't have to be so complicated, but you've got to, like, again, keep the intention in mind that it's absolutely worth it. Cause you know how much connection is created when you're cooking for yourself and cooking with people and not having the mindset that it's not worth it. So just keep that in mind. Like you have to decide and you have to create the intent that shapes the content.
Yes. And I love that you made that point about cooking different things for everybody. I mean, there's so many ways around that, but it does start with the perspective and the choice to say, I'm not going to do that. So why don't I pick things that can be easily adjusted and can easily have things taken off and added? And there you go. Or you just have things in the refrigerator, whether it's just, you know, peanut butter and bread, you know, that they can go and get if they decide they don't like what's being cooked. And then the last myth is that cooking requires a guru of some sort to tell you what to do or direct you. And I think this is applicable in pretty much every aspect of our lives today, where we want there to be someone telling us what to do. And yes, while I can help you with some techniques and logistics and I can offer you recipes, ultimately, I can't. It's not even possible. I cannot be your guru because I'm not in your body. I don't know what works for you. And I think I mentioned this last time, but easily 80% of the questions that I get from people are something that could be that they could answer for themselves if they were tuned into what their body is telling them and what they actually like. I mean, so many of us, we don't even know what we like. You know, there's so much information overload. We can't even say what we like. And cooking is such an amazing way to learn that. And it's not only going to teach you what you like food wise, but as we're going to talk about next week, it's also going to teach you a lot about your personality, how you like to cook, who you are in the kitchen. And those are things that are going to positively shape other aspects of your life. So y'all got to be your own guru.
Absolutely. And, you know, I threw it in like not everybody has a Laura Lee, because like when we were talking about building out this program, that's like one of the most common questions you get is like, oh, if you're Laura Lee, it's super simple to do that. It's like, no, she had to create this for herself too, so that she can teach it to other people. She wasn't just born magically making cooking stressless, you know? But the other thing too, like let's play devil's advocate for a moment. Let's pretend like you have a personal chef cooking for you, right? You still need to like be the guru in your own body and in your own kitchen to even give, like tell them what to cook for you. Do you know what I'm saying? So you have to take responsibility responsibility and ownership for yourself, because nobody can do it and nobody will do it for you. It's got to be like, you have to become, and we use the word guru lightly, but really the, you know, the Sanskrit word guru means from darkness to light. So if cooking is a dark, you know, matter in your life right now, you've got to be the one that shines the light on it and makes it simple, makes it easy, makes it stressless. All right. So now what we're going to do is we're going to take all of this and we are going to custom create your own pair of cooking goggles. Okay. So in this, basically what you're going to do is I'm going to pull them up again in a second. All right. And again, you're going to have this in your member dashboard when we post this. But right now, I just want you to start kind of crafting out the rough version on a piece of paper. And that way you can write on it, you can make notes, you can like scratch things out. And then when you have the final version, you can transfer it over to this, you know, your cheat sheet that you use to walk around with and just kind of, again, just like any of the goggles, once you start learning them and trying them on, they'll become you. You won't have to so, you know, mindfully and intentionally be, you know, practicing it so much, but just to get started, right? So what we're gonna do in just a second, we're going to pull up all those myths and then we're going to pull up the new truths. Okay. And what you're going to do is the first step is you're going to pick from the list of myths that might be keeping you stuck or keeping you from having the cooking mindset that you really need. And that's going to, what's going to end up going in the blue section, the old thinking, where again, just like always, we just want to be mindful of when it shows up. We don't want to psychoanalyze it. We don't want to focus on it even more. We just want to be aware of when it's showing up so that we can immediately, bam, shift our brain to the new red. So then the new red side of things is where you're going to pick your new truths. And again, we're going to show you those new truths again that we shared with you. And you're going to pick the ones that will serve you. Basically, anytime you wrote down a myth, we want to find the truth in that. And so you're going to pick the new truths that will serve you into a more like peaceful, fun, and freedom-based relationship with cooking. Okay. And so we're going to go through those. And then this is the beautiful part. We're going to be able to, you know, get you guys, answer your questions, help you. You might find that like, oh, I this part of it feels true for me, but I'm not sure what else feels true for me. And we'll be able to unmute you and give you some actual coaching right here on the call. Okay. So right now we're going to just, again, take you through. So the first myth is
cooking is not sustainable.
And so if that was true for you, you're going to want to turn it into a new truth, which is cooking is sustainable if. And what follows the if is going to follow your dialogue, what feels true for you. And again, if you get stuck, don't worry. We're going to be able to help you with this in just a moment. We're going to go through all these myths first, but then we'll take some questions. All right.
Cooking is not fun, but cooking is fun when...
Absolutely.
Cooking takes me away from things I'd rather be doing. Instead, healthy cooking gives me more time to do the activities I love because...
Right. And so think about all the reasons why cooking will save you time. What if cooking was your biggest asset? What would you not have to be doing? And think of it also like this is a time thing. How can you like batch it so that like, oh, this is the time I could go on Sundays and go shopping and I could bring my kids with me and have time, you know, family time or whatever, you know?
Mm-hmm. Cooking is overwhelming. Instead, cooking isn't any more overwhelming than anything else that I decide I want to take on or prioritize. Cooking is too expensive, but indeed, cooking is actually way less expensive than eating out all the time.
So again, just to remind you, what you're doing right now is you're identifying the myth that's true for you, and then we're just figuring out what's a replacement, what's a new belief that would serve you. But again, make sure that this is in your language. Don't feel like you have to, you know, take these verbatim. We invite you to really just take these and run with them and make them your words.
Cooking doesn't taste as good as takeout. Home-cooked food tastes even better than takeout, 100%, and is completely customizable to what I like. Cooking isn't worth it. Cooking is just about as worth it as anything else in my entire life for so many reasons, and I can't wait to hear what your reasons are.
Also, like, one of the main things that Laura Lee and I hear about is like this idea of like feeling in control or taking control of their lives, taking control of what they're eating. And like when you cook, that is what is going to give you as much influence as possible over what you're doing. And by the way, I want to throw in my definition of cooking. also includes like just concocting, taking the things that are fresh in my kitchen and concocting. And sometimes that means getting some, like going to Costco is one of the places that I'm able to get like pre-cooked really high quality meats and dishes and stuff like that so that I can just kind of nuke it and chop up some vegetables and call it a day, you know, but keep in mind like cooking and like this idea of it being worth it, you know, what if it was also a matter of just like redefining your version of cooking so that it was like concocting or preparing or something, even if the word cooking felt overwhelming to you. So keep in mind, like this is all customizable to you.
Yeah, that's a really good point because the truth is, I mean, I think eventually where we're going to get you all to a point where you enjoy the idea of making something from scratch because it's just, there's nothing more satisfying. But yes, I am not a purist. This is not about everything being perfectly healthy to begin with. And what we're going to talk about, I guess, next week is, you know, coming up with some basic recipes to start with. And I'm not worried about the health part of it. I think the idea of concocting is totally valid under the cooking umbrella. And then cooking requires a guru or somebody to tell you what to do. And in fact, that is not true because the only guru that you have is your own guru.
I wrote in Laura Lee because she's my guru.
No. Okay, we kind of are each other's. I mean, you know, you can have people you're obsessed with. Like
absolutely.
I'm obsessed with Leanne.
I'm a little bit obsessed with her. All right, cool. So here's what we're going to do now, okay? Again, this is going to end up, those old myth versus new truths are going to end up becoming your version of cooking goggles, okay? And that was really it. That's all we have planned for this module. Now, first of all, I just want to show you what's coming up. Next week, we're going to talk about discovering your cooking personality type. So again, I'm a concoctor. We should add that to the personality things, actually. Yeah, okay. I'm a concoctor. She's a cook, okay? No, but what I mean is we're going to figure out how to really make this personalized to you and figure out what is your style of cooking so that you can upkeep it, okay? And so what we want to do now is we want to open it up to questions, but what I'm going to actually do is I'm going to put it back up on that slide of the myth so that you have it. And I'm going to open up the chat box right now. Yeah, just go ahead. If you're on the computer, type into the chat if you have a question and I'll unmute you. And if you're not on your computer and you're on the phone, feel free to just unmute yourself. And we'd love to just help you all figure out and just hear from you as well and hear what your old truths and new truths are. Let's see. Oh, you know what? Hold on just a second. Okay. Who was that just spoke? Oh, is that you, Jade?
Oh, hi. I haven't spoken.
Yeah, oh, hi. Did you mean to unmute yourself? Because we're ready for you.
I did, actually.
I love it.
The problem that I run into is I've got two kids I need to cook for, and they are, you know, have different taste buds. Although if one of them could put jalapenos on anything, it could work out. So there's that bonus. But it's the cleaning up. That's really like, I feel like I have had a day and I am, you know, I can do the cooking, but it's like having to clean up afterwards is what deters me from starting in the first place.
Absolutely. You want to take this one, Laura Leah?
Okay. So the first thing that I will say, I totally get that. What will be a game changer for you is when you go shopping and you are putting your groceries away for the first time, I want you to prep everything before it goes into the refrigerator. So, and this does require having a sense of what it is you're going to do with the things that you're buying. But first of all, whether it's, you know, something like peppers need to be chopped or, you know, something needs to be marinated or cheese needs to be grated. If you do that right when you get back from the grocery, that is going to save you so much cleanup when you're actually cooking. You're going to have way, way less. The other thing is I find that everybody has some kind of distraction during while they're cooking, whether it's just looking at your phone or, you know, answering emails, and really try to be cognizant of using the cooking time to clean as you go. One thing that can be super helpful is put a big old bowl on top of your kitchen counter and put a trash bag in that bowl and throw it in there as you're going. A lot of the time our trash is just far away enough from the time
just far away enough in the kitchen that we don't want to take the time to throw stuff in there. But if you have your cleanup bowl right on the counter, that's a great way to save some time. And the other thing I'll say is, girl, I have no problem with you using those pre-prepped chopped veggies from the store. If you go to somewhere like Costco or Trader Joe's, they're really not expensive. And I think they're incredible time savers.
Absolutely. I'll totally agree with everything she said, and I'll just stack on it. So first of all, like, just to kind of put a frame around everything that she just said, part of it is you have to change your relationship with cleanup in a way. And the current truth that you have, if I'm hearing you correctly, is that like, man, after I cook and everything, I'm so tired. I don't want to have to clean up too. And so one of the ways that she just kind of helped you negate that is like, well, what if you were using the time? That's actually one of the things that I started doing is like, while my veggies are simmering and things are you know, cooking in the oven or whatever it is, I actually clean up while the food is ready so that by the time I go to sit down, the kitchen is essentially already clean with the exception of like the pot that the actual food is in. And then it's just like one thing to do, right? And so again, that's where like music will come in and just like make it an experience versus just like, okay, I put the food in the oven and now I'm going to go sit on the couch and, you know, scroll on my phone or whatever, right? The other thing is when Laura Lee started to say, I have no problem with you getting those chopped vegetables, I was wondering if she was going to say, I have no problem with you putting your children to work.
I was thinking that too.
The truth is like, you know, you're doing, like, part of it is obviously having a conversation with your family being like, hey, this whole, like, we're going to start eating at home more, you know, and it's like making it family time and like, empower your children to contribute. And again, this is an invitation without expectation. There's no judgment, but like, what if you didn't take it all on yourself where you had to just, you know, make it all for you. But then also like, just like you were saying, like your kid could put jalapenos on everything, you know, so make it so that you're cooking for everybody in a mild fashion. And then you have jalapenos and, you know, crushed red pepper flakes available to him whenever, so that it's customizable to he or she.
And the other thing I do want to say is I think that's exactly right when it comes to kids with, or even people with different tastes. And I think if you don't love cleanup, well, first of all, I 100% think it would be so useful for you to ask yourself the question, what are the things that I could do to make cleanup happen before cleanup, before cleanup time? Because I almost never sit down, even on my busiest days, and I'm talking like working 16, 18 hours straight. Even on my busiest days, I almost never sit down to a dirty kitchen. And that's not even when I'm just, you know, cooking. That's when I'm, you know, whatever, when I have a day that has nothing to do with cooking and I'm just being a normal person who makes myself my food, I still clean up before. The other thing I was going to say is you would be a really good candidate for big batch cooking where you make a big old thing of pasta and a big old thing of, you know, salad. Romaine is amazing to make salad and then eat throughout the week so that you have very little cleanup. And then as Leanne said, you just take those condiments, whether it's cheese or jalapenos or, you know, peanut butter or whatever it is that, you know, each kid loves and keep those around for them to slap on whatever sort of basic, simple thing that you made.
Absolutely. And we're going to actually talk about that in a future module about like how to convenience cook for yourself and batch cook and all that. Hold on. Let me just, cool. Did that answer your question, Jade?
Absolutely. And I did batch cook. I had like rotisserie chicken from Costco, and then I made a few different dishes, totally, you know, with the chicken in advance. So it was like my week, or actually I also had some ground turkey. And so I made pasta sauce and I made, I made lasagna. And then I also made, like taco meat. So absolutely, I had two different meals and that was done, early in, you know, like on a Sunday or something. And my schedule doesn't always look like that, mm-hmm, but it did feel good to do that. And so I could be more intentional about making time for that kind of preparation.
Absolutely. And then the last thing I'll say is if your weeks are a little unpredictable, if you found a recipe you loved, whether it was the lasagna or taco meat, double or triple that and freeze it in individual pint containers that you can order on Amazon for like no money and just label them, throw them in the freezer and thaw them out.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, everything, just to kind of put a frame again around all this, you said it so beautifully, like it really is just about creating that intention and being more mindful, which Laura Lee said in last week's, you know, module, easy is earned, like earn the ease of it, earn the convenience of it. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yep.
Awesome. Awesome. Beautiful Thank question. You. Anything else that comes to your mind for these myths or truths, or that was the big one?
That was the big one, because that's my hang up. I stop before I even start because totally. I just can't even bear the thought of, you know, the mess.
Absolutely.
And I'm beat by that time. So yeah, no, it makes sense.
Right. So I would invite you to add to your myth, to your blue section, that cooking, cleaning up is a chore.
Mm-hmm.
And a new truth is like cooking, cleaning up happens while I'm cooking and I'm putting music on and it's fun or something like that. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean?
Sure. Yep. Yep.
Awesome. Awesome. Beautiful. Yep. Thanks for asking.
Thank you.
Cool. Karen, Kim, Christy's gone. Anybody, any of you guys have any questions or any awarenesses around your myths and new truths that you'd like some coaching on? Awesome. Cool. Well, yeah, hopefully this is all pretty self-explanatory, ladies, and that you're just, you know, able to get this. But at any time, feel free to reach out to me in the help desk, and I can always get Laura Lee's feedback on it to give you back. And then we also have two more of these modules as well. So some of them might come up for you after, you know, this training. And like I said, we're going to be putting all of this in the membership site. You're going to be getting access to the videos, but you're also going to be getting access to this cheat sheet that you see right here. And so we'll make sure that that's available for you too. Karen, you said you do have a question. So I'm going to go ahead and unmute you. Give us just a second. Hey, Karen.
Hi.
Hi.
My challenge is just coming up with ideas. I like getting a rut.
Like specific food ideas?
Yeah.
Cool. Laura Lee, do you want me to take this or you take it first?
Yeah, you can go first.
Okay, cool. So part of it is in the coming weeks, we're going to help you discover your food personality and talk about the actual food itself. And then Laura Lee's going to walk you through the process of figuring out what your like staples are. Like the staple, not just the staple foods in your pantry and in your fridge, but your actual staple meals that you're going to really enjoy. And then she's going to teach you how to create a foundation of those. And the concept that she teaches you to create that, you can just then add another recipe and add another recipe and add another recipe. So again, it's kind of like a skill set in itself that she's going to be walking you through.
Okay.
So that you do have your staples that you go to, and then you know where to go to if you do get into a rut. Because part of it isn't the rut itself. It's how we react or how we respond when we're in the rut. And so for you, I would actually invite you to, while we're addressing these mindset stuff, I'm so happy it came up for you, is like in your old thinking, I often go into a cooking rut, right?
Mm-hmm.
Is the old thinking. And the new thinking might be like, when I feel like I'm in a rut, I do X, Y, and Z. And the X, Y, and Z we might fill in later. But that in itself, can you see how feeling like you get into a rut might be a mindset too?
Yes.
Okay, cool. So I would invite you to just include that in your mindset right now. And then the new mindset is now it's not a matter, it's a solution-based thing. So it's when I get into a rut or when I feel like I'm in a rut, I then X, Y, or Z, and then we'll fill in the X, Y, and Z when we get to the practical application of this stuff in the next two modules.
Okay.
How's that?
It's great. It's great to hear your voice.
Oh, it's great to hear yours too, Karen. Awesome. Laura Lee, is there anything you want to say on top of that?
Oh, I was pretty much going to say what Leanne said, which is that we're going to really, really help you with that in the coming weeks, because so much of it just comes down to information overload, not even knowing where to begin, what recipes to choose, and how and why. So we're going to hone that in. So you're going to have a really good sense of, I'm somebody who likes this, and then it's going to be a lot easier for you to pick things you like. But another thing is that can also be a time that you turn into me time. One of my favorite websites I'm going to let y'all in on, it's called foodgawker.com. If you're not familiar with it, Food Gawker is amazing, and you will immediately fall in love with looking at all the pictures. And so instead of, you know, I get in a cooking rut, it can be when I feel like I'm getting in a rut, I make myself a cup of coffee or a cup of tea, and I shut myself in a room with Food Gawker, and I just have fun pouring through these beautiful pictures and writing down a few recipes that sound good to me.
Awesome. I love it. I love it. I'm so glad that came up for you, because it seems sometimes we think it's like a practical problem that we have, but oftentimes it's like the view of it, and then the practical application will come into place once we shift our view. So was that helpful for you, Karen?
Yeah. Is that Food Gawker?
Mm-hmm. Is it G-A-W-K-E-R? Mm-hmm. Yeah, G-A-W-K-E-R, food gawker.
But it's one word.
But it's all one word. So FOODGAWKER.com.
Okay, thanks.
Yeah, awesome, awesome. Cool. Any other questions that are coming up for you, ladies, feel free to just type into the chat or unmute yourself. We're here to serve you. All right. All right. Okay. Well, if we do not have any other questions, we're going to go ahead and wrap up this module of Stressless Cooking. As always, we're grateful that you are here. We're grateful for your feedback. We're grateful for your participation. If you have any questions following this, or if you're just watching the replay of this, don't hesitate to reach out to us via the help desk. If you have questions for me and or Laura Lee, you can access both of us, and I will make sure that I get you the answers that you need. All right. In the meantime, we will post this in the membership site, and we are signing off for this week of Stressless Cooking. We love you lots, and we will see you same time, same place next week.